Blog Talk Radio.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old, it's older than the trees,
younger than the mountains,
growing like a breeze. Country road, take me home to the place I belong.
West Virginia,
mountain mama, take me home, country road.
Country Roads mashup, which was put together by Country Music Association back in 2016 to celebrate their 50th anniversary. And I just came upon it the last couple of weeks. It is, as I said, got just about everybody in it in country music that was running around at the time. And I think it's a brilliant piece of music. So anyway, welcome to Blog Talk Radio and to a team of voices. We're a group that hangs out on All Poetry, and every Saturday night we have an open poetry show, which is hosted by myself, O.C. Taylor, and along for the ride with me I have the head of the group and the chief sort of wrangler, of the Puma Voices, Deborah Lee. How are you going, Deb?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am well, thank you. And then, as they say, the man from Snowy River, the brightest riders were riding on the flank, and that would be, in this particular case, Rack on Tour. How are you going, Rack?
I'm doing good.
Rack on Tour.
Excellent. So we have Deb and Rack, and we have a whole heap of poems that have been sent to us by members of a team of voices. And I think it's fair to say last week, mainly to do with the fact that Blog Talk Radio seemed to adjust to the world of daylight saving and then disappear for the weekend, which left us in a position where the studio was out of whack with the real world by about an hour. And so we couldn't log on to start the show, which was a little bit difficult. But anyway, it is what it is. And so we had to pack up and go and do the best we could, Deb. Anyway, we did what we could. And so here we are with poems that were basically left over from last week. So now, I thought, Deb, because we had the first sort of tune, that we might start with your poem. What do you think?
Oh, okay. looking forward to hearing you sing it.
Here we go. I got the right one here? No, probably not. Hold on. Bear with me two kicks while I actually put the right connection down. So, and, you know, you might as well just get straight into these things, Deb. You know, there's no point letting them sit there. So, see how we go. I haven't practiced this. So, straight in. This is Deb's poem. Bake me scones, cherry scones. Ask for bacon, potatoes. 2 eggs scrambled, peanut butter waffles, mug of coffee, sugar and cream, please, toasted bread and butter, slices of sharp cheese, baked scones, cherry scones, crisp and hot, thin and long, warm honey, like my mama's. Make the scones, break the scones. Oh, my whimpering, weighing on her. Metal skillet hangs in the back corner. Growling tummy, spotting my big mouth. Juicy bites of grapefruit squirting in my eye. Chocolate scones. Bake me scones, piping hot, much love, drizzle honey, over pancakes, bake scones, raisin scones, and with the loud scream of frying pan fires at me, stereo throbbing hits the skull, gushes with blood. And fallen to the floor, my toe is broken. She lights me in flames with cooking spray, broken bones, no hot scones, slice on head, digging long, skin is burning, wine for mama, no hot scones, no hot scones. Casted bones, blistered burns, and the ache is so strong. Wearing breakfast, call my mama with my scones. Hit the road with no scones. Hit the road. End poem.
Great job.
We worked that. We got that out. Rack, what did you think? Paradigm to start with. What did you think?
I don't know. I never heard you. Well, the singing was awesome because there was not a trace of your accent, I don't think. Not that it's really an accent in Australia, but, you know, over here it is. Anyway,
no, that's true.
And my goodness, all you have to do is mention, you know, bacon and I'm happy. And I had a whole ton of food. So, I mean, my mind was all drooling. I loved it. You know, scones and coffee and waffles. It was a beautiful song. As far as I'm concerned, I don't like thinking about food this late at night, but, well, it's not that late, but it's still it's later than I'd like to eat.
No, no.
So I don't want to raid the kitchen because then I'd weigh twice as much as I do. So, but, you know, so,
no, no,
so
no,
I'm cursing you, but I'm loving the idea, you know, and it was very clearly to the tune of Take Me Home, right? That West Virginia song.
Yeah.
What the proper title?
Yeah. Yeah.
Country
yeah.
Roads.
Yeah.
That does really. You know, I like when people do parodies, especially to music. They don't like kind of just rearrange the lyrics. They stick to the cadence and the music more than you know, the idea of oh, it's a country road, so I'm gonna, you know, rhyme road and toad and things like that, and no. No. the melody is enough to amuse me and still have shades of the old song and nod to it, but, you know, be its own thing. So I thought it was beautiful.
I think you're right.
And
look, you know, I sort of have done a few parodies before, just between you and me. And I thought this was really neat, Deb. I agree with Rack. It didn't go and just, you know, parody the original. It had its own, you know, story and its own way about it. And but it fitted in beautifully with the music. So. Yeah, very, very easy to follow, and a good way to start. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, my favorite part about this one is that it was for contest for if your abs, and he
yeah.
was down to two, and he couldn't decide which way to go with the gold, so he pulled his wife in, and she was like, oh, you got to give it to this one. So I got the nod from Mrs. If Your Abs on this one. So I got the gold.
You got.
Thank you, Mrs. Thank you, Ray P.
That's impressive. Well, that's a pleasure. I would have recorded it for you if I knew that before, Deb, and we could have had it there for Eve to listen to. So, anyways, it's all good. My decision is made. Okay, I have now got the poem by Pee Wee Coosan on the board, which is a deathbed stage coach, and is talking about in the author's notes Mick Jagger and the Stones singing in his head. So I thought, oh, why not? Continuation. This is Breath of Life by Pee Wee Coosan, or Deathbed Stagecoach, and it goes a bit like this. Stark white, supplanted seeds of sense dissident amongst far gone brothers. Shading insatiable shadow, ignorance, new days, yawning abreast of mother. Envisaged incisions inciting reform, Uckham's razor cuts deep beyond reproach. Insincerity, a sedated societal norm, upstage phantoms don, deathbed stagecoach. Imminent elementary backyard blunder, perspiring lie-lighted stage marionettes. Twinkie strings, cradle crime and rip asunder, bawling breath, life battered to death. Gimme insipid, resplendent regrets, licking lime, live lightning marionettes, rolling razors around reticent roach, rending end, deathbed stagecoach. Did you think of that slight tongue twister?
Yeah, it was very cool, and you didn't show it as a tongue twister at all. You read it quite clearly. And I in that, was it the second? Yeah, the second stanza. I don't know why, but I was tickled by it. Envisioned incisions inciting reform, Occam's raising cut deep beyond reproach. And I'm thinking that's the first time I've seen Occam's razor used in a poem, let alone used for incisions. There was just something really cool about that. And upstaged phantoms don deathbed stagecoach. The metaphors are crazy good. I thought he did a great job, and I'm also noticing on the side that he won a silver medal for it. So easy to see why, and congratulations, Pee-wee.
Indeed. Congratulations. And Rack, what did you think of that one?
I love his use of language. He's always got a few little nuggets that just kind of hang with you, and you know, he's great. Mentioning Occam's razor, yeah, to mix science in the middle of what's essentially, you know, art. Well, science can be art, but I guess he's showcasing that idea in what he does with you know, things like that, and you know, it lends itself well to the metaphors and things. He did a lovely job with that. I enjoyed it very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And it was a fun poem, and I thought it came out particularly well. So well done, Pee-wee. And we're now moving on to a regular contributor to the show, Laurient. And he had... Oh, got a little note there from Ted, which is good. Hello, Hatter.
I'm fine, if you...
Hatter.
Excellent.
Hey.
Cowboy Hatter.
Excellent. Well, great to have you here, Hatter. We are rolling our way down the list of poems. And, of course, I should say, if you want to put the poem up on the board, please do. And, Rack, if you want to direct us towards a poem to do the same thing, we shall do that too. So, meantime, and you miss me singing, Hatter. You miss me singing Deb's song. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You can hear it on the record.
On the record,
which is why we do the record. Sorry, Hatter.
I didn't say anything.
I missed it.
She's poem up.
He said on the replay.
I'm looking.
Because we did do a sort of country mashup to start with, so it made sense to do Deb's song early. Anyway, putting marks of one piece, we have Laurient always supports the show. Great to have a piece there from him. This is The Fleeting Rainbow by Adele, and it goes a bit like this. Those Yoma fields of drought within the dry land left fallow, and the brazen storm sought amidst the brook flowing shallow, a wretchedness of the poor seen in the lonesome days, with the sweat of the boar drudging abreast the chaise. Heed the wails of the bands who weep such bitter tears through the wistful cairns, linked swathed with fears. Be not saddened by a sorrow, for thine heart throb off fain within the glee of the morrow, drenched in the soothing rain. A queer glimpse of bliss tither amongst the fleecy clouds drifting, o'er the drearsome hillocks hither, beyond the wide flowers winting. Behold, the storm hath come, bless the new harvest nigh, across the wondrous home where the reapers thus sigh. Be blithesome now, my kindred, within the shoal of dewdrops. On the moist ground, O spread one the once wearisome crops. Clutch the winds that wuthered on a winsome and teeming smile, when the brethren had all gathered to see a fleeting rainbow by a dale. End poem. Hatter, what did you think of Laurient's piece?
I was deep in the vault, AP. I was unable to follow. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Not a problem at all. Deb, what did you think of Laurient's piece?
No, he does really, really awesome when he dives into the old world words. I see this as one of his from his Victorian poems collection, and he has the story, but with the enhancement of those Victorian words. It gives it a feel, and like a queer glimpse of bliss thither amongst the fleecy clouds drifting, or the dreesome hill. It's the or and stuff like that that
yeah.
You have to take a second look and be like, wow, this wasn't written years ago. This is this century type thing. And I really like the title with the fleeting rainbow by Dale, although it's kind of sad that it's fleeting, and it leaves
yes.
you wondering if maybe there was a pot of gold too. But seriously, he does really well with the wording. Impressive.
No, I agree, Deb. It has a lovely flow to it with those sort of and it just creates a really nice assonance to the poem. What did you think?
Yeah, I think, when people use the Victorian language, sometimes there's a danger of it feeling gratuitous, but this flows like Deb said, like it felt natural. It wasn't, an affectation. It was, it could have been from that era. It was properly used, so it came across really lovely, and it does add something to the feel of it too, like Deb said, setting the table, as they say. It just was a lovely, it put you in the mood, and it took you down the path. Bleeding rainbow,
yeah.
That the emotion, it was lovely, it was great.
That's right. Yeah, I agree. I think it was really lovely piece, and thank you to Lorient for sending it in, and for supporting the show in the way you do, and another writer that supports our show really strongly and almost always sends in a SoundCloud as well is Phil the Poet, and I've put his piece up on the board now, and his SoundCloud I'll play right now.
The poem by Phil the Poet called Take a Look Inside. Open the rustic casket and take a look inside. What do you see? The fragments of man's pride, covered in dirt and fragrance of death cologne, where the worms feast and the soul does moan. Roots and bones share an earthly accommodation. A death certificate becomes your final graduation. Laughing in the face of death, now you are silent as the grave receives another dubious client. Names engraved in stone fade with dust of time. A requiem echoes from the church bell's chime, piercing the sky with the choir of weeping crows. Beyond the horizon, the river of life still flows. Stepping among the shadows to take a look, skim the lines like a stone across a gentle brook, while images flicker in the mist of a rising dawn. These stories were told before you were born. End poem.
Thank you again, Phil. A lovely piece of rhyming poetry. It's quite a I suspect there's a little backstory of history here too. The take a look, open the rustic casket and take a look inside. Laughing in the face of death, now you are silent. It's some lovely, intricate words and rhymes about history and the connection to where we are today. So, what did you think? I might have had Deb drop, but she has returned. Deb, did you hear that piece, or did you drop in the middle of it?
I did hear it just as soon as it ended. My call dropped, so I didn't miss the poem, but I probably missed you asking me if I wanted to comment. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, that is exactly where we're at, yeah.
Okay, cool. Second stanza is like, holy cow, roots and bones share an earthly accommodation. A death certificate becomes your final graduation. What a way to put that. Laughing in the face of death, now you're silent as the grave receives another dubious client. This is like spooky, but really good. And like I said, I'm very, very impressed by the death certificate becomes your final graduation. Bill always brings it. And you won a gold for this. Another one. It's easy to see why. Congrats on that, Bill.
Yep. Very completely. And Rack, what did you think of this piece by Phil?
I love Phil's poems, but my phone kind of cut out on me in the middle.
Okay. No dramas at all. And Hannah, were you able to hear this one or not?
I caught most of it. Phil's just a classic poet. I mean, never lets us down. I was unable to follow along, but one of them, that's not it. I can't find it. Yes. Anyway, good job, Phil. Sorry.
I see what you were doing, though, Hannah. You were finding one of your poems because you put it up on the board. Now, did you want to read this one, or did you want me to read it for you?
No, you can read it, please.
Okay, we can do that. So this is from June 2020, so a few years ago, Hannah. This is a poem called My Ravens Speak of Things to Come. And it goes a little bit like this. The winds of silent ghostly dreams, remembering those that made you scream. No eyes for me to know what's true. When they come for me, they'll come for you. A wizard's book for me will tell. My eyes shall fly from a warlock's spell. Shadows fill the darkened skies. Blackbirds now shall be my eyes. Your dreams shall paint the rooks and jays, so I will know what comes my way. I bring the corvidae's back in time, the spirit guides for yours and mine. My ravens speak of things to come, they light the darkness that paints the sun. The murder shall end each day in clouds, my sight restored among the crowds. Make peace with God that brought you here. May your soul at rest now shakes with fear. Mercy shall not seize this day. I bow my head and kneel to pray in part.
Thank you, AP.
Pleasure. I was just on that end, Adder. I was sitting here thinking, that's quite sort of the idea of having eyes that are those of birds and those of what those birds
who
would
was it
see
that had,
and how that would work.
What king was it? It wasn't King Arthur, but what figure was supposedly able to transform his eyes? Were they the crows? The ravens?
Rack, do you know that?
I think it was Odin plucked his eye out, I think, right? And he used it
was
to...
Odin? Okay.
I didn't know that. But anyway, I was just thinking, because it's a really interesting idea and thought, and then, what came from that in the poem was really intriguing as well. I haven't read that one before. Rack, do you want to say a few words about Hatter's poem?
I love that he didn't just, talk about one kind of blackbird, because everyone confuses rooks and jays and they don't realize that they're in the same court. They're called corvids, I think, that family of birds. They're so smart, and to use them in this way, and incorporate it into a piece like this. It just fits so well. And then also, you know, you want to talk about darkness and anything, you know, everyone goes to Poe's Raven. So, you know, you got that feeling there, you know, helping you along too, on top of everything else. So this is really a haunting kind of poem. It was great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rock.
Yeah. And Deb, what did you think of this one?
I think it screams of how to rhyme, which is, you know, a good thing. And I'm also noticing that aside from me having it on my list, Linda's got it listed as well. And on top of that, it's one of the ones that Hatter actually likes of his own, which is cool. Your dreams shall paint the rooks and jays, so I will know what comes my way. Pieces of it had a Poe type of flair, so I thought you did a great job with it, Hatter.
Thank you, Deborah. Yeah, if I remember right, if it was Odin, he was. They always wondered how he knew things. Yeah, how he knew things. It was Odin watching. They didn't realize it was the birds that he was walking through, something like that. Vaguely remember.
I did not know that, Hatter. So I've learned something today, which is always a good thing. Thank you. I am now moving to another great supporter of the show, which is Jenny the Deep, who will often throw a poem our way. In this particular instance, it is Love Lingers Day or Night, and it goes a little bit like this. Cadmium celestial eyes, speckling sapphire slated skies, stark shadows can no longer hide from the glow of the full moon's light. Stumbling into one another, strangers are becoming lovers. Serendipities in the air as encountering hands spark flares. The moon's glow may disappear, but like the sun, it reappears. Daylight breaks, the stars fade away, but love's essence lingers always in the breeze, graceful with ease and pomp. And so, I do like cadmium, and she says in the author's notes, it's cadmium as in the colour silver, white, not the element, which is cute. I like it as a poem. Rat, what did you think of this one by Jenny?
I'm glad you mentioned that in the author's notes, because my mind went nerd when she said cadmium, and, you know, you talk about love. And, you know, I think radioactive and things like that when I hear that word.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a beautiful way to integrate something like that, you know, that it happens to be both a color and an element. So it fits beautifully either way, I think. You know, you don't have to, you know, steer us towards the color. But, you know, in the context of how you used it, I guess, you know, it's kind of clear. So as you talk about the color of the thing, but it still fits and, you know, love is kind of radioactive. It has that chemical reaction, I think. So I love the idea of it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. Really nicely done. And Hatter, did you have a chance to hear that one?
Yeah, it says in an author's note that cadmium is the color silver white, not the actual element.
Yes.
Is what she's referring to.
Yes.
Sometimes. I guess it was a contest. Yeah, you know, Jenny the Deep, has she called in before?
Once or twice.
She has a couple.
Once? Okay,
yeah.
I thought she had.
Yeah.
She is, in my eyes and for what I've read, she's offered to us, posted on our group, she's getting a lot better. And not that she was ever bad. It seems like it's complete. And they're even shorter, so she's got a little brevity, the three stanza, which it's more of a difficult thing to do because you don't have as many lines, but you got to be able to recognize the redundancy if you're just repeating the same thing in just different words. Sometimes the storyline gets lost.
Yeah.
But she does well.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. It is more complicated to actually get a story out in fewer words, in a brevity, but if you can
if you can do it, I think it's actually really strong in terms of how it directs. Yeah. So, and I think she's done.
She's probably
hanging around
the right people, maybe.
I don't know. I just think there's something about the simplicity of just putting things on paper regularly, and I think it's sometimes what happens when you write regularly and you write often is you get into your own cadence and spin that, and you develop your style, and I think he's done a fantastic job of developing her style. I really like it. So.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Go
ahead. No, I was just agreeing with you that you're right. If you remember that the first light switch that goes off over your head when you're trying to write, you know, it's like drawing. At some point, you'll have to deal with depth, no matter what medium you're using, and.
Yes.
Writing is the same way. There's certain things, and it seems like she's getting more comfortable with her writing to be able to go more brevity and strong beginnings, strong endings. It's very good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
all I got to say.
Agreed. I think not. Yeah. No, I think you're right. So, now, Matip chose the classic poem for this work, and I'm glad she did because the poet that basically, you know, kept my interest in poetry when I was in the late years of school was Robert Frost. Now, I know I love banjo and all that now, but the poetry of Robert Frost was something that we studied back in, you know, the final couple of years of school, and I really enjoyed the way that Frost went about writing, and my favourites of his. This is The Road Not Taken, and it goes a little bit like this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveller long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could. To where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though, as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how ways lead on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that's made all the difference. And poem. Beautiful presence on the page. Lovely, lovely poem. Deb, tell us why you chose that poem.
Well, you had just played the your intro song for me, and it was Country Roads, and how can you anything to do with roads and not think of this poem, and it's just that good, so I figured I would go grab it. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Trying to
Put
it in with the, you know, the theory of the road there.
No, very, very neat, and as I said, a great choice because just a poem that I reflected on many times and a brilliant poet, so... Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Who's Anton
now,
Jarvis? Who's Anton Jarvis, Anton?
Go again, Hannah? Who is what is?
If you look underneath the, on the, above the poem, it gives a little description. Who's Anton Jarvis?
I think it's the person who made the recording, Hatter. Some people have done some recordings of the classic poems, and they put their name on it as the narrator or whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
I think you're right.
I thought that poem was longer than that. Road Not Taken. Why did I think it was longer?
No, I don't think so. No,
you know, I think
short.
Sometimes when a poem leaves you thinking, it feels like it was a longer poem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably it. Just clever the way they use the words.
Yeah, no, I agree, Pat. It's just an economy of words, but beautifully put together. So, lovely. Okay. We do have a first contributor to our show, which is SSM, and she has shared with us a poem, Are You Afraid? And so I'm going to read that now. It goes a bit like this. Do you want to try everything but are afraid of failing? Want to go beyond what's known, but fear of unknown persists. The sky beckons, but you hesitate, thinking what others would think. Has life become a roller coaster of pent-up frustration and broken dreams? Breathe, and keep breathing deep, till you see life for what it is, the everlasting soul, a short sojourn, a drifting dream. Don't let this burn consume you, let it be the light of awakening. You might be a speck in the universe, but every speck finds its meaning. So take your own leap of faith. Believe in yourself and not in fate. Leave the known for unknown. Set direction to passion's home. Don't let others hold cheap your dreams. Only fear of never having been lived. Infinite possibilities lie in wait. Let your potential be fulfilled in time. Well, that's a positive and uplifting way of going about things, SSM. Thank you. Jack, what did you think?
It brings to mind, I mean, this is like, I kind of live in this space a little bit, but with a little less positivity, let's say, because when I hear something like this, when you talk about fear, there's an argument about it being kind of a safety valve, and, you know, it's your body's way of telling you, you know, that might not be safe. And you know, and some people argue that it's a good thing, and some people say, well, you know, you got to kind of, you know, put that back and you know, color outside the lines, take a chance. I know there's merit to both, but you know, it's easier on paper anyway to bemoan the horrible choices and the darkness than it is to say, you know, well.
Yeah.
I could be positive about it, but you know, in my experience, you know, okay, I'll turn around and be positive about it, and then something else falls on me. So, you know, I'm just going to stick with being safe. you know, it's a lot to character. You know, it really makes you think, though. You know, about and you could even tie that into road less traveled too. You know, it was a great piece. It really was.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as many, many likes on it too. What do you think of that piece?
Oh, I thought it came out fantastic. I like how it's got pieces of advice through it, but it comes through in such an uplifting way. It's just, are you afraid? It starts with the question, and she's giving you reasons not to be afraid. Go ahead and take that leap of faith. If the sky beckons you, don't hesitate. Has life become a roller coaster of pent-up frustrations and broken dreams? Breathe and keep breathing deep. It's just, you know, one foot in front of the other. Just breathe. I thought it was excellent, and apparently so did quite a few others, because this poem, count them, has a baker's dozen, 13 awards from gold, silver, couple bronze, a bunch of honorable mentions, 13 awards. I think she did fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Hannah, what did you think of that piece?
Yeah, it's between, it's sort of between Lombardi's halftime speech to the team and the Girl Scout creed, something that somebody would read every day to get them up and out the door. Positive thoughts. It's very well thought out. Again.
Yes. Yeah, it is well thought out, and it's well expressed too. So I know I really like the piece. So thank you, Adam. And heading to another big support. supporter of the show, Lawrence 67. It's got an old piece, actually. It's not the homies and the cats and everything else. It's called Old School Games, and it goes a little bit like this. Old school games we love to play, well, besides the standard popular games we all love, like Marlboro, Slender Tube, containing doses of hallucinogenic tobacco and what? Oh, my bad, that's marbles and not, never mind. Round pieces of glass that you fire at supersonic speed in opponent's circular glass. Hopscotch, throw stones, coins, buttons up, etc. At square boxes carved in the dirt, then hop one leg through all the boxes, picking up the play pieces as you hop by. Willy One Leg is very good at this game because he was born with a defect that he used to his advantage. He'd been born with three legs. Well, actually a stump, not quite an inferior third leg, but he could use that stump like a pole vaulter using his pole. Hide and seek, all the kids hide from one kid that's counting and has his eyes closed while everyone else goes home to eat. Go to sleep, leaving one kid wandering around looking for ghosts. We would whittle down a 2x4 piece of wood into the shape of a rifle, then get a bunch of rubber bands together with a bobby pin or a nail at the end and shoot with imaginary monsters, villains, pets, small birds, each other. We had bow and arrows that had real razor-sharp tips for killing rhinoceros and smaller elephants and hippos that we shot straight at the night, and no one could move until the deadly diving spear hit the ground. The winter was the one that disturbing descending spear landed closest to cousin Clumsy, who won most games and scored a perfect 100 three times. Unfortunately, he was buried before getting his trophy. Our games taught us responsibility and how to apply tourniquets at arteries and other first aid applications. End pop. I like the ending a lot. Deb, what did you think of games, responsibilities, and how to apply tourniquets?
Well, you know, for starters, I feel like this is the longest poem I've ever seen by him. Not that it's a long poem, but by him, I'm like, wow. I was surprised. and hopscotch,
yeah.
Throw stones, coins, buttons up, etc. At squares, box carved in the dirt, then hop on one leg through all the boxes, picking up play pieces as you hop. I like how he described hopscotch. But I had a giggle, too. Back a little further, containing doses of a hallucinogenic tobacco and what? Just the little things like, you know, asking what twice and whatnot, it makes you giggle. You feel good when you get done reading one of his poems or hearing one of his poems. Well,
yes.
Done.
Great. Thank you, and great comment. Welcome, Sky. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am very, very well. Very, very well. Thanks for asking. We're wandering our way through some poetry. I'm very, very happy for you to grab one of your poems and put it up on the board.
Oh,
Sky.
I didn't drop it.
But,
I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah,
there you
okay.
Go. Anyway, while we're doing that, we've got a little bit of time. And Rack, what did you think of Lawrence 67's piece?
The choice he made. When you hear games, you know, depending on who you're speaking to, your mind goes in one direction. Some people start talking board games like Monopoly and things like that, or even Mario and PS2 games and things like that. He went cool, like, you know, oh my God, you know, these are the things we used to do, you know, when our parents chased us out of the house and, you know, go out and play in the sun, you know, and the games he described, you know, well. I mean, even if you've never played Marbles, it's easy to picture what he's talking about. I did play Marbles and I enjoyed it, and, you know, things like that. But you know, it's kind of nostalgic, and it has a certain feel to it when you do that, and you describe it in that lighthearted way that he does. It makes it playful but still very contemplative, and you know, you could try and, you know, write it off as being, you know, not so serious, but if you look behind the curtain, you know, there's some deep thoughts in there, Lauren. I really liked it.
Yeah, no, thank you. Quite complex, right? And Haddad, did you get a chance to listen to this one?
Yeah, you read this well. I think that's the way he intended it. It's just a firing line. You just keep at it because they're basically flailing thoughts. And it keeps your attention and trying to figure it out as you go. And I don't know if we're supposed to understand
Yeah.
Yeah, the 2x4, yeah. the peg leg, rubber bands.
Yeah, I just sort of appealed to me. When I was a kid, we used to grab these sort of cypress pine nuts and throw them at each other as weapons. And can I tell you, these bloody things really hurt. You actually did manage to get hit by one of them. And so I was really relating that with the tourniquets and everything else. It was, it sort of struck a chord of my childhood. It's really interesting. So, there you go. Now, Sky, did you want me to do my poem next, or did you want to have a go at a poem of yours?
Oh, no, you go next. That will give me a little bit more time.
Okay.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, well, let me put my poem on the board. I should say, too, we did start with a country and western sort of mashup song from a few years ago, which had Country Roads, and it had On the Road Again, and it had the Dolly Parton tune as well. And so the three songs sort of interacted with each other. And that then said to me, well, why not go and mix three poems together? This is a mashed Villanelle, and it goes a little bit like this. As butterflies don't obscure their presence, they flutter to and fro by fine silk wings, travelling over stones in a forest dense, capturing thrones through a dainty sense to camouflage with obsolescence. Sighted, teetering in yard or crescents, hover in sunshine as the warmth sings. Feather off grasses, dainty as spring, a skipping girl to Kay's echo they sing, as butterflies don't obscure their presence. Within breezes tumbling on the scents, antennae flicker the sense about things. The tune sown, a communicating sense, shone by caress of icy mountain crescents, be camouflaged with obsolescence. Predators in motion find iridescence, for there is no venom there or poison things. Find an audience within galleries ring, wings unfurl among limestone they sing, as butterflies don't obscure their presence. Discover instead of drift, his effervescence, avoid adverse currents as all dark swings, icy fronds by passing, even song went since stars aura those night skies immense, to camouflage with altered essence. In currents flickering, absent defence, discover joy here optimism springs, while rivers gather then join a wellspring, currents of colours displayed as they sing. If butterflies don't obscure their presence, they camouflage, would alter their essence. End poem. There you go, Deb. There's a very famous sort of Villanelle, somewhat altered. What do you think? What did you think?
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, whenever you find another way to use the butterflies don't obscure their presence poem, lesson part, I mean, I just, you got me because it's one of my favorites, but to turn around and blend these, and it's just like it came out so flawlessly as if they were written for one another, and then I really like the fact that you called it a mashed Villanelle, because you took the spirit of that song that you shared and mashed it into an amazing poem, and I think I'm starting to say this too often lately, but you really are showing off.
Rack, what did you think of this one?
I enjoyed it. Camouflage always makes me think of the military, and I was never privileged enough to serve, so I always feel guilty liking that kind of a pattern. But the idea of it always, you know, appeals to me because, you know, if you're shy and you want to fade into the background, that's kind of a form of camouflage. Or if you want to hide something within something else, like with wordplay, you know, that's a fantastic word to take something that you're going to mash up and weave it through to tie it together. And you did a great job tying all those thoughts together with the butterfly, you know, flitting through from thought to thought. So I really enjoyed it for that. Lovely, lovely construction.
Thank you, Rack. And
Sky, what did you think of this one?
Oh, as always, I think everybody always says you're showing off. I don't think it is. I think it's just good. It was wonderful the way that it was written, and of course your stanzas are absolutely flawless. I particularly liked the idea of the, what was it, was the, was that one, two, three, fourth and fifth stanza down. Was it the fourth and fifth? No, one, two, third and fourth. I liked it all, but I particularly liked the idea of the third and fourth stanza when you came in with the breezes tumbling. And, of course, when you come down with the find an audience within galleries ring, wings unfurl among limestone, they sing. I mean, the details in it were amazing. Absolutely wonderful imagery. And I have a thing for clean and cut lines that look, you know, when someone reads it, they're like, oh, it reads so easy, but it's not done easily, you know. It's just like, yeah, it reads so fluidly, but it didn't just happen that way. It took a lot of work, and I mean, you do it wonderfully. Really well done.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, no, there's a couple of, I've got a couple of favourite poems. One of them is Way Under Mushrooms, which is the water, the skipping girls and stuff, which is kind of where that came from. And yeah, just I always like the butterfly villanelle and like it's adding to it because it's a great little piece. Hatter, what did you think of this one?
Yeah. Can you remind us what the rules are for a villanelle and why this one is mashed?
I can, yes. So the original villanelle that this comes from is five stanzas of three lines and then one stanza of four at the end. The every line in a standard villanelle has to be eight syllables, although 10 is acceptable in more modern ones, but there's a syllable count. And the rhyme pattern is quite interesting because the first line in the first stanza drops down to become line six, and then drops to line 12, and then finally ends up as line 18. And then the third line drops to line nine, and then again down three lines to line 15, and then it finishes as line 19. So, and then when you're doing it, Hatter, you've got to have the 2, 4, 6, 8 sort of rhyming with themselves. And so there's a double repetition of rhyme all the way down. As well as the line.
Do you alternate like that for like the first line? Do you alternate it? I see that it's not in two stanzas, but it's in.
Yeah,
it's in
no,
it drops, most of
it,
them.
It drops a. Yeah. So the last line is a alternating combination of lines one and three. So.
Do you decide that? Do you decide that, or it's whatever
no,
first line you use. You've got to plug it in. Okay.
It's a given form, yeah. So that's just the rules of the form, yeah.
Okay. I get lost with the rules.
there's quite a few rules to it, and so you've got to be able to make sense of it. Choosing the right lines to repeat is really important because otherwise the poem just becomes boring. To be honest, you've really got to be able to use those first lines in different ways. Yeah.
You know, I notice sometimes it's noticeable, and then sometimes you don't notice until the end of the poem that there was a line that was repeated.
Yeah, and they're the best ones, Hatter. Where the line sort of means different things on the way down and people get, you know, something out of, they're the best villanelles, I think. Anyway, there you go. Okie dokie. I have a poem on the board by New Sky. It is better to dig up roots than chase phantoms. So we are in your hands.
Oh, thank you. So this is Deb is here, right?
Yes.
Okay. This is an IOU, and I don't like to read any IOUs without Deb present because they're her IOUs from her prompts. So this is a personal prompt Monday IOU. And I also used a quote from Pretty Bird because I got a book over here with her one-liners that I'm writing in. And because if y'all don't know, she's got some stuff out. I don't know if she wants, I don't know. I think she's got it on her page. So, yeah, that's fine that everybody knows. She's got a book of the, you know, you it's like a journal book, but in each top of the page, there's like lines, just a line of her. So I'm going through that and writing some stuff. So this is a dual inspiration for that. This is called Better to Dig Up Roots Than Chase Phantoms. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me do the quote first. I hate when dreams feel like memories you never had by Pretty Bird. And this is called Better to Dig Up Roots Than Chase Phantoms. I heard an echo in my sleep and stood firm till I awoke, a sapling weed berating me and all my brighter hours, till evening called to branches that stole themselves the marrow of steel and earth, till I gave it what it thought it was due. And the echo, once dream, was fitted permanent, a fixture that whittled itself a name that I might ever remember. End poem.
That's very nice. I like that. It has echoes and thoughts and whittling. I like whittling. Very nice. Deb, what did you think of Sky's piece?
Well, this art's from a while ago. I love when she brings IOUs, though. The opening lines, I heard an echo in my sleep. It stood firm till I awoke. And there's a sense of chaos in that, in being awoken by an echo that you're hearing as you sleep. And I think that chaos is in the picture above. And the echo, once a dream, was fitted permanent. And that, it was just like, whoa. And fitted permanent could be this wonderful thing that you hope keeps happening, or it could be that nightmare that you just wish would stop, and it never will. So I like the play on words there. Great brevity, Sky.
Okay. Thank you, Deb. I have a folder for you in my computer, so I have everything I ever IOUed you to saved.
I'm looking forward to the IOU.
She's worried about her credit score.
Yeah.
No. Did you hear that one?
Yes, I did. Okay.
I thought it was
wonderful that you Deborah hit on it. The dreams. And the echo once a dream can be fitted permanent. It's like it when it stood fast, what was with the dreams when the dream, a fixture that whittled itself a name that might ever be remembered. Now, I'm trying to get this thought out, and I don't know if I could say it right. How disturbing. It doesn't have to be a nightmare to be disturbing, because it's like when something's so alien from your other dreams, you're living another life. It's like that REM sleep. If you were to consider that bothersome because you've never been to the Himalayas, but it was so real that you were there to look at it as...
Yeah, that's the idea of the poem. Yeah, that's exactly the idea.
Right.
Thank you. You got it right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Empty Hatter. Brax, what did you think of Sky's post?
That word fits my technology, so I don't want to say it, but have the noise in the background of it talking to me. Yeah.
You can't say it, no.
I love the etymology of words and what they conjure up in people, and that word in particular really resonates with me, pun intended. You know, the idea of that repeating, you know, fading off into the distance, is just so universally understood, I think, because it's so representative of, like, people entering your life and then, you know, kind of fading away or something along those lines. It's versatile and poignant, and you know, I just, even scientifically, I love that word too, because you know, here's a bit of trivia for, you know, us nerds. You know, they used to think that a duck's quack doesn't echo, and I said it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna, anyways. But the truth is that they found out that it actually repeats itself so quickly, it just sounds like it continues on, but it really is doing what they say it's not doing. So it does in fact echo.
Thank you, Rack, and I would never have thought we would have got down to an etymology of ducks, but we did, so thank you. Meantime, we have been joined by none other than 720, or, as we all know and love her, Sweet Fake. Hi, Sweet. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We're very, very well. We're very, very well. So... lovely to have you here. Did you have a poem that you wished to share with us?
Yes, I do. But first, I want to comment on Sky's poem. Yeah, I mean, I believe I've walked and burned in those dreams that either make love to you or rape your soul and send you to the depths of hell. I mean, this imagery is frightening and outstanding all at once. I this is absolutely superb. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
I'm not Pretty Bird, but you're welcome.
Thank you. I was reading my thing in my quote, and I saw the word Pretty Bird. I swear I know you guys are different people.
I'm okay. Anytime you want to call me Pretty Bird, I'm all right with it.
No, because a lot of people do it, and I swear to myself, I say I'm not doing that because I see a lot of people do it when you guys do shows together, and I'm like, man, can't they get their names right? And I just did it, but I was reading her name because I was rereading the quote from making sure that it was right. I'm like a triple checker. I've changed that poem 7 times. I was not happy with the way the lines were. I actually took 2-4 of the lines and rearranged them right before I read it. So, I've got, like, issues sometimes touching stuff. Like, sometimes you just, stop touching it! Walk away!
Stop touching it!
So I was rereading to make sure I didn't mess up the thing.
Anyway. I sometimes got issues touching stuff. I think I'll have to remember that. Anyway, keep going.
Awesome.
Maybe I'll cut the sky.
You said that, not me. Don't look at me. I'm just repeating what you said. That's all.
That's fabulous. Yes,
now,
I have a poem on the
now. You do.
I do.
So we should probably get you to read it.
Maybe that might be the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Dying Flowers. Actual brevity. Wilted promises wrapped in tissue paper. Believe they're beautiful. Perking up in tepid water, they struggle for survival, defying death's bitter bite. She applauds their tenacity. Dying flowers, a metaphor for her life. And poem.
See, I saw what you did there. So you turned that nicely inward.
you know, with the bitter bite and the survival and the tepid water and the tenacity. And then she sort of said, oh, it's a little bit about me. I like that a lot. Skye, what did you think of this little brevity by...
I love this one. And it reminds me of that idea, you know, of flowers. I think when I was like 17, when I first started like publishing, and I published this poem, and it was called Wilted Flowers, and it was nothing like this, but it was that idea. I was always, even then, very, like, these poor flowers, like, you get them, you love them. They last for a few days, and then they fall off,
yep.
And then that's it. You throw them out. But I love how you went even further where you said wilted promise, wrapped in tissue paper. Like, even after these beautiful flowers have fallen, you open up with the still trying to mend them and care for them, which turns the metaphor in a different direction completely from my perspective of flowers wilting and being tossed out and just like yesterday's news. You're like, well, let's kindle these, like even go further. And when you say believe they're beautiful, and they struggle for survival to find death's bitter bite, I know it's about flowers, but maybe it's just
no, it's
to me. It's a yeah. Well, some people could say it's just about flowers, but to me, and a lot of people, the metaphor of, you know, trying to preserve oneself and being told that you're beautiful and enough to wrap up and to do that, but then all the while dying flowers, kind of, no matter what happens, no matter the tender care that is given, their death is still looming in the future, and it's quite it's beautiful, but it's quite stark in that realization. Like no matter what you do, there is still going to be this death. But I like how you've worked defying, because it doesn't mean they can't, you know, keep their colors as long as they can. So there is still also kind of hope in it. Anyway, I've rambled off. I'm sorry. Very nice poem.
I thought that was a great comment. And Rat, what did you say about this piece?
I've got definite feelings about this piece. The first thing that comes to mind is an idea of you know, when someone does something bad, the first thing they want to do is buy you flowers. So, you know, and there's something attached to that thought too. Is exactly what you're bringing out, is that, you know, why flowers aren't a perfect gift, because, you know, some people are like, you know, well, why? Because they're just going to die. And then, you know, the metaphor of wrapping it up in paper and whatnot. And then, I mean, comparing it to promises and things like that, it's things deeper than it would just on its face. And it's, you know, like I always say, it's unfortunately relatable. I really enjoyed it a lot, and you know, it makes me sad.
I'm going to start a sad locker instead of a hurt locker.
You can do a sad locker. For the record, I am very, very good at killing plants. I'm not good at growing them. I'm good at killing them. You give me a plant perfectly healthy, and I can kill it for you. It just seems to be what I can good at. Deb, what did you think of this poem?
This poem is really a powerful brevity. Sweet, the wilted promises wrapped in tissue paper, when you just started off, I looked up and all the petals are laying there, and the fact that you called them wilted promise, it was really fabulous. And defying death's bitter bite, she applauds their tenacity. I like that. It changes the mood to a little bit of hope as they defy death. And I agree. I would much rather have a plant than cut flowers, because they just shrivel up and die, and that plant just died for nothing. But I also think that instead of a sad locker, it should maybe be a sad sack. But
sorry.
Oh, and AP, you need to get yourself an air fern. You don't have to do anything, and I'm pretty sure you always have air in the house, so you can't kill that.
Well, no, I'm confident that any object that you gave to me, I'll manage to die and kill. So anyway.
I put up a meme for you.
Yeah, my mom was the same way. She didn't. I know for a fact she didn't like cut flowers that much. She liked chrysanthemums from the pots that she could plant. You know, I totally agree with her. My house in Fair Oaks, we had many rose bushes, ancient rose bushes. So we cut them all the time and had them around, but I gotta take care of something. I'll be right back.
Sorry,
Thank you. Well, I'm really happy because my old apartment was terrible, and I killed every plant, and then I moved, and now I have lots of plants, and they survived because I have better light. And I have to say, I'm like, taking back my comment, because I actually agree more with Rack now about the idea of, was this a promise given, and this person who gave this promise, you know, that was bad, and they kept trying to say no, and they, no matter, clinging on, like saying, like, no, I'm really telling the truth again, and no matter what it was, they had the tenacity to keep trying to wrap their promises up and give them. And so now I'm looking at it in different perspectives. So sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but now I want to know, what way did you mean? You got to tell me, sweet pea.
You can't pin her down. You can't pin her down.
Poetry is as you feel it, not as I feel it. No, I'm here.
Oh, my God. You'll tell me later. I'll call you later.
You want a name for the full lacrimals?
Now, Deb, you have to tell us what's coming up on our station, because otherwise we won't know.
Well, can you hear me?
Yes,
I can now.
Okay. Because I was talking and I didn't think you heard. Okay, so, you know what? There's only one of them on the board that's mine. How about if you let Sweet do that? Mine is Monday night, and we are continuing the color series. And this week at 10 p.m.,
yes,
the topic is pink. But I thought Sweet might tell you about the party tomorrow.
The party tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow night is Drunken St. Patty's Day party, and JCA will be there to talk about some of the crazy, murderous, wild things that have happened on St. Patty's Day. We're going to focus on the biggest art thief thing that happened on St. Patty's Day. It's a really crazy thing. And Pretty Bird and I will be talking about tied up elves and anything that is absolutely ridiculous. Of course, we have no factual data on anything that we will talk about, but it will just be drunken fun. So if you want to write about any dark lore or anything like that, bring it on. We're very excited about that. But, come bring a bell, bring a shot, and let's have a little fun tomorrow night.
Yeah,
that's perfectly good.
What time is it?
I believe we start at 9:30.
Okay, good.
If I then look at the schedule, do I then get to Tuesday night and then we have Sky? Is that right? Tuesday night?
Yeah, she's got Tuesday and Wednesday. She's got a makeup show.
Tuesday and Wednesday. Yeah, so it's Musical March, and I'm excited. I want to be playing all the songs, so, you know, and it's going to be like, we're going to chat in between, but I'm also going to get all the songs out. So it's going to be Sweeney Todd on Tuesday, and it's going to be Les Miserables on Wednesday. I still have a makeup show. But I don't know what that was.
It was because she's doing Les Mis on Wednesday, and I bowl on Wednesday, and she's doing Sweeney Todd on Tuesday, and she should absolutely switch them, but I know she won't.
I'll see what I can do. How do you feel about A Sound of Music? I have that makeup show.
Sound of Music should be on a Tuesday because it's Sound of Music.
It should be on a Tuesday? Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Well, let me see what I can do. I really don't care which one I do first. So if you want me to switch them, I can switch them. So Sweetie, under request, has asked me to switch them, and I don't really care. So it's going to be a musical month. It's going to be one of the musicals on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the time is also subject to change because it's whenever I can get on the air. Between 8:30 and 9:30, so stay tuned. I'll be on both days because I've got a new internet box, and I won't have to cancel anything because of my stupid internet anymore. So, be there.
Excuse my growl, but I love Les Mis.
All right, me too.
I love Les Mis.
All right, I'll switch. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Look at poor Deb. Deb, thank you so much. I'm sorry.
Twisted the hand, and we've got that there. So that's cool. Now, is this an ongoing series of musicals, Scott?
Well, not just Musical March. I mean, I love musicals. So probably next March, I'll probably do all. I love Oliver Twist. I'll probably be doing Oliver Twist next year. But it's just something that I've wanted to do for a while. Yeah, and I was like, well, let's do. And then all of a sudden, I was just like, Musical March. So I just decided to do them all in March, and then maybe next year we'll do another Musical March, and I'll have Oliver Twist and some other ones that I like. I really love Oliver Twist, so that's definitely getting up there.
I'm very fond of Oliver Twist. Guy, by Oliver way back. So I am very excited if you've been doing Oliver. The other one I really like is Chess, the musical. I don't know whether you have any liking for that, but I really like Chess, the musical. Anyway, just saying it.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but I have a whole year that I could watch it and perhaps get on. Plus, I really was going back and forth on which Les Miserables I was going to do because I love them both so much.
Yes.
So next year we're probably going to see Les Miserables again, but it's probably going to be the other version.
Oh, and the other version.
So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. So we are going to wrap this whole little baby up and say thank you to everybody for dialing in. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Sweet.
If I can take 5 minutes of your time, I have a question for everybody. It might even not take five minutes.
Of course.
Okay.
Sure.
So I was on a plane not too long ago, and I sat next to the most amazing woman, the woman that had invented sidewalk chalk. So she's a fabulous woman who loves poetry. So one of the shows I want to do is Sidewalk Chalk Memories. But I want to send the poems that we write to her. So how much time would you guys like to write the poems? Should I do that in like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever? Because I don't want to say, hey, we're going to do this in 2 days. Because every poem that's written, I want to be able to say send to Miriam.
Yes.
We've got to give it more information.
The more lead time, the more rights you get.
Right.
A lot of people wait till the last minute no matter what. But it's okay. I have tons of IOU pictures for Deb. I'm going to connect it. Are you going to give our sidewalk chart? Are you going to give, are you going to do prompts for sidewalk chart? I mean, chart.
No, I literally, she is the inventor of sidewalk chalk. Her stuff is all in sidewalk chalk, and like her stuff is in the toy museum. She's an amazing inventor, and so sidewalk chalk memories, whether it was your kids or yourself or whatever, just poems about it, and I'm going to be presenting them to her, and you know, letting her read all the poems. So I just wanted, you know, to give the people I know the best possibly, like, hey, this is a collection from these poets that I know. So.
Oh, questions?
No.
What she's saying is you guys, including me, need to write, and we need to make it a priority because it's important to her. That's what she's saying.
Yes.
Sure. We write it about this lady, right, Marianne?
No. We're writing about whatever memories you might have using sidewalk chalk.
Oh, sidewalk chalk. It's not a metaphor. You're actually talking about chalk.
Yeah, absolutely.
She met the inventor of sidewalk chalk.
Yes, I did.
That far, huh?
Yes. Okay. But we have this got now to the end, Hannah, and I would like to thank all the people who called in, which is just about everybody, really. It's Tweet, and it's Sky, and it's Hatter, and it's Deb, and Rack. My thanks to everybody for calling in. My thanks to all those poets who put poems up for us to read and supported us that way. And my thanks to everybody who's listening in. For next week, we are, of course, back for more open poetry. And meantime, to finish off, we're going to finish where we started, which is that wonderful mashup of artists of then, now, and forever. The Forever Country mashup. I see. I only listened to it the last week. I'm obviously a mile behind. But hey, just a brilliant piece of music. And we will catch you all in a week's time. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Catch you in a week.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is older than the trees,
younger than the mountains,
growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong.
West Virginia,
mountain mama, take me home. Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is older than the trees,
younger than the mountains,
growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home.
And we'll see everybody in a week's time. Have fun, everybody, and have a great week, and talk soon. Cheers.